right, well, welcome to the first ever mini episode of No Play Today, No Time to Play Today. I am joined by Shane and Matt, and we are discussing the new and exciting data pack for Android Netrunner, Upstock.
The first pack of the lunar cycle.
Yeah. Going to the moon!
I'm going to nod and smile through this, because I don't really know anything about anything.
So, Matt, when you came into the game and you played with us, there had only been one cycle, and Shane, I've already forgotten the name of the first cycle. What was it?
Genesis
cycle. So you had played with the main set in the Genesis cycle.
Okay.
So there was then a big box which gave a whole bunch of toys to the Shapers and HB.
Then that was called Creation and Control.
And then there was the Spin cycle.
That's right.
Which brought in some cool stuff called the Kasai, which are chess programs, which you put the programs on other people's on the ice and move it around, which is one of my favorite things. And also some tools for bad publicity and kind of shored up some weaknesses for the corpse, because I feel the corpse came out pretty good at a spin cycle. And then they had another box called Honor and Profit, which gave a bunch of stuff to criminals and Jinteki. And now we're in the lunar cycle, and we're in space.
That's lunar?
Yes.
Like you're on the moon?
Yeah.
Headed towards the moon, yes.
Oh, okay.
So one of the corporations, Wayland, one of the factions you can play, they own the Beanstalk, which is this giant spaceport. It's this literally a cyber beanstalk that points up into the space, and you dock at the top, and then you take elevators down.
That's the name of this data pack, Upstock. So this is taking us up the stock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would argue, as far as the term of where the game is, this is starting, because there's so many packs now, I would argue that this is getting into sort of some more complicated play, like a lot of more cards with a lot of interest, and the game's maturing, I guess, would what I would say. And it's giving more flexibility, which is the big thing. Like, slowly but surely, they're making it so that each faction has a lot of different ways they can play to kind of shake the game up. So, did you have anything you want to say about the lunar cycle before we talk about the card chain?
No, just that the game is now 2 years old, I believe. So it's pretty good that it's still going strong.
Yeah, no, it's a good game. I mean, it's no Game of Thrones LCG, but again, we don't know if that's any good or not.
Yeah, it's true, which I will... we'll do some research on that soon.
All right, so do you just want to start going through them, Shane?
Sure.
All right, do you want me to read and then you read?
Sounds good.
Now, Matt, I want you, with your limited Netrunner knowledge, to ask questions as well. I appreciate you.
Nope, no questions. Huh? I said I was going to non-smile, and that's what I'm... No, I'll answer. I'll ask questions.
All right, so the first card... Actually, if you have a browser open, Matt, you can probably go Upstock Image Spoilers, and you can see the cards. I don't know if you want to do that.
Sorry, what? Upstock?
Upstock Data Pack Images. Google it. And you can probably get, or maybe type spoilers into, and you can probably see the images as we go.
Scott, do you have a QR reader on your phone currently? Because apparently on the back of the package, if you scan the QR code, it'll show you the cards. And if you give Matt that URL, he could just go to it.
Good grief.
Technology.
That's right.
Or I can type it, or hold on.
Or you can just do a Google search for it, yes.
Netrunner.
I feel Shane is doing the Shaper way of doing things.
I just don't have a QR reader on my phone right now.
I have one somewhere. Uh-huh. Hold on, barcode scanner. There we go. Yeah, let's see if this sucker works. There we go. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard it.
All right, what email address are you using, Matt?
Just send it through Skype.
I can't send... I had to use my phone.
Well, I don't want to save my email address.
Oh, God sakes. All right.
Well, you can do it at...
I'll do it Facebook-y. There you go.
Oh,
one
second. This is killer radio. Just
riveting content.
Oh, yes. This is... Yes, riveting. Yes. So, okay, well, one thing that is interesting, I'll just talk about some generic things that I noticed, is that in this data pack, there are actually more corp cards than runner cards. Whereas normally I thought they were pretty evenly split.
Well, no, there's always more corp cards because there's more corps.
For some reason, it feels like it's... I don't know. Maybe it's because the corp cards are first this time.
Yeah.
Whereas normally the runner cards are first. So I didn't notice it as much before.
I don't want to share it with all my friends. I just want to share it with a friend. How do we do that? Goddamn technology.
But I also think there are more cards cut, though, because a lot of times for the runners, you'd have like two or three factions that got three cards each, and you'd have a couple of non-faction specific cards.
Yeah, the neutrals were pretty skimmed in this one.
For the runner, but there were three neutrals for the corp, so.
Yeah, no, I honestly feel the corp came out ahead in this pack, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, I definitely think the corp came out ahead.
No, I found it.
Okay, good, because this technology is not working over here. Apparently, I don't have enough credit or clicks to make it happen. I did. All right, so you ready?
Let's do this.
All right, so first card. I'm sure Lynn is suppressing her giggles, but anyway, so the first one is Domestic Sleepers. It's an HB agenda, 2 advancement costs, 0 agenda points, 3 clicks, place 1 agenda counter on Domestic Sleepers. Domestic Sleepers is worth 1 agenda point while it has at least 1 agenda counter on it. I like this card.
So it's like scalable agenda?
No, it's scalable,
You score the agenda. Yes. And it's nothing. But if you spend 3 clicks, you can put an agenda counter on it in your score area, and it's now worth 1 point.
Oh, okay. And can you only do it once? So how many times can you do it?
You can only do it once, because if it has an agenda counter on it, then it's worth one point.
We could put more than one on it, but more than one doesn't do anything extra.
But it's just kind of cool, because... I like it because from a corporation standpoint, from HP, it's kind of neat because you could advance it, get it in your area, and then all of a sudden you have that floating threat that you can just give yourself 1 point, right?
Yeah, when you need to win the game.
And you can win the game. But from the runner's side, I think it's interesting because this is totally, you can trash it for data dealer and give yourself 9 credits or whatever. Or all those different ones, like hostage, or different cards where you have to sack an agenda, so you can sack this agenda. You don't lose any points for your end game. The only downside I saw, one of the things I didn't like about it, is that it doesn't go towards your agenda total, so you have to put this in, plus you're putting in all your other agenda cards.
Correct, yes. Yeah, so it hurts you in deck building.
Yeah.
Because it can take slots away. But other than that, yes, it's very nice. As a corp, you can let the runner steal it.
Do you see it, Matt? Without caring.
Yeah, I see that, like, it's kind of weird, like, the site that I'm using, it's blocking it with the other card, so I can only see the, like, the little waitress girl.
Yeah, okay, so...
But I can't see the description.
Yeah.
But, so, like, if you score it, does it go away and the runner can't run on it, right?
Correct. So it's in your agenda area, but it's worth nothing until you put an agenda click on it.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It is kind of neat, yeah.
Yeah, it opens up some very different tactics that you could use as a corp.
Because that is what I find, the limited exposure that I've had to that, to being a corp, is that it always seems like the way that the things add up, it's like you end up having 6, and you're like, oh man, I just need one more, like all the time. You need 7, right?
Yes, yeah. You need, yeah. Except for if you're using, there's a new Jinteki identity. From Honor Profit that allows you to win with 6 points.
Both sides,
okay. Yes. But yeah, most of the time you need 7 to win, so.
Nice.
All right, so the next card.
So you had no more comments about the Domestic Sleeper there, Shane?
No, you pretty much covered them.
Alright.
Yeah, it opens up some interesting possibilities. While unfortunately taking up extra slots. But still, if those slots can win you the game, then...
Because you can score it in one turn is the other thing cool, right? Like, you can install advance, advance, and it's in your area, right? So.
Yep. And then instead of having to spend your next turn advancing a card that you would have installed and tried to protect, you can spend the next turn just getting the point for it. But then it's only worth 1 point, whereas most other agendas that you'd score in 2 turns could give you 2.
Yeah.
That being true, but it's a lot safer though, right? So
it's a lot safer.
You can score that in 1 turn.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't even have to put any ice in front of it. You could just that is like, correct. Putting it down, scoring it. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So the next card is Next Silver. It's a HB ice, keywords barrier, and next. It's 3 cost to res with 1 strength, and Next Silver gains 1 end the run subroutine for each res piece of Next Ice. So currently there, I believe there's only 1 other piece of Next Ice.
Yeah, Next Bronze.
In the game. But this obviously stacks on itself. So if you had your 3 copies of Next Silver and you had them all res, then you would have 3 end the run subroutines. That being said, it's pretty low strength.
Yeah, as an Anarch player, I'm not worried about this one.
Yeah. Facing Anarch, this is not good because most people will just parasite it away in a turn or less.
Yeah.
However, maybe there will be other ice in the future that could increase the strength of all your Next Ice.
Yeah, well, because I'm trying to build that HB deck for us to play, for you to play against. I've been there's that cool the one Stronger Together where it's +1 for all Byroid.
Yes.
It's almost like Next needs something like that. Like it
exactly.
Needs,
yeah.
Like
which it may be coming. So I would say this is the possible future card. I wouldn't necessarily think it'll see use right now. And at 2 influence, there are probably much better choices that you would have.
Yeah.
If you're going to use it out of faction, but I don't see it being used out of faction.
Yeah. Although I guess if you had Corporate Troubleshooter, someone does a parasite. No. Oh, no, that wouldn't solve your problem. It's only for 1 turn. I guess you could do experimental data, that upgrade that gives +1 to all the ice in the server.
Yes, that would work, but still pretty vulnerable, but...
Yeah. There's not much to say about it.
Yeah, I really think Next Ice will continue to get stronger as more Next Ice comes into the game.
Yeah. All right. I assume Matt didn't have any questions about that one because it's a pretty basic.
Actually, I was spending my time actually looking for because that one wasn't in the list that I have in front of me here.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You can go on to the next one.
So the next one's Jinteki, Lotus Field, Jinteki Ice Code Gate, 5 to res, strength 4. The strength of the Lotus Field cannot be lowered. Subroutine end the run. Chai Resonant Mapping has created a whole new field of network security. It is unassailable perfection. Akita Taro, Natawaba.
Yeah, this is nice. This is the anti-parasite card.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but the funny thing is I think it's more a problem for people that splash Data Sucker or Parasite than Anarchs, because the Anarchs tend to run Knight, which is, for you, Matt, it's a 2-cost AI breaker that is 7 strength, and you just pay 2 to break a subroutine. Because if I'm Anarch, right, like that's probably what I would do. But I think if you're like Andromeda, who's always stealing Data Suckers from us, Anarchs, for her it'd be a bit more of a problem, right? Like the people, and also and to your point, Shane, about the people that like parasite heavy kind of things.
Yes.
But,
yeah, Parasite and Data Sucker do not like this. And it's only 1 influence, so...
It's going to be everywhere.
I will totally use this.
I know you're totally going to use it.
It wouldn't really affect Shaper, though, right? Because, Shapers don't really deal with making things weaker, right?
Sometimes they do, but generally for anyone who's running a full breaker suite, then it won't affect them too much. But still, it's a 4-strength code gate, which is always nice, because that means it's stronger than the key 3-strength that Yogg will take out.
Unless you put Yogg on a Dinosaurus, which gives it +2.
This is true, but again, that's a...
Hello?
Hello, Shane?
Shane! You made a good point, so good, Scott, that he left the Skype cast.
I'm back now.
Oh, he's back. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. It gets rid of... I think, honestly, I feel it's more dealing with Andromeda than necessarily dealing with, like, Anarch or Shaper. I honestly feel it's people that are going the lazy route and are splashing, like, Data Sucker and... Although, that said, it also deals with Bishop, which is the one I use, right? Like, you have to think differently with it, and you have to put your resources elsewhere.
Yep.
And I think that's handy. So... It's 5 to res, though, man.
Jeez. Yeah, but 5 for 4 cost is pretty good.
It is pretty good, but, I haven't, just so you know, Matt, a lot of people take Data Sucker, which I don't know if you remember, which is every time you do a run, you get a counter put on it, and then you can spend that counter to lower the strength piece of ice. And so what a lot of people do is they put a parasite on something, and then they use the data tokens just to reduce it to 0, and poof, gone, right? So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It presents a challenge. I don't think it's like a broken card by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's probably better than some of the silver bullets they've done, like, for instance, Swordsman. I don't think Swordsman solved the Atman problem as much as I think this will solve the parasite problem for people.
Yeah.
Although it now makes Kraken all the better card. Kraken is when you steal an agenda, you play Kraken and you can destroy a piece of ice. So
that's awesome.
Bye, Lotus Field. All right, Shane, Mutate.
Mutate is a 2-cost operation for Jinteki. As an additional cost to play this operation, trash a rezzed piece of ice. And after you do so, you reveal cards from the top of R&D until you reveal a piece of ice. Install and res that ice in the same position as the ice that was trashed, ignoring all costs, and then shuffle R&D. And it's 3 influence.
I like this card. It plays to the Jinteki you don't see very often, which is the cheap ice. Like the ice Jinteki, which, like, wait, I see this in a Tenon deck, where Tenon decks are always putting, like, low ice, mid ice, and high ice. And then you you play this, and then you, well, probably you play Precognition first and look
at exactly.
Cards.
Yeah, you play Precognition, figure out which are the next 5 cards, get your good piece of ice close to the top, and then play this to get rid of your weakling ice that the runner is bypassing for, you know, next to nothing, and give them a much more powerful piece of ice to have to run through.
Yeah,
but you can't just install over ice anyway, so, like...
You can, except this one this one does it for 2 cost.
Oh, okay.
So whereas you pay 2, and now it's funny because a lot of people, like, HB has better ways of doing this, but this is for the in-house Jinteki way of doing it. So
yeah, because that 3 influence is not gonna get splashed a whole lot.
No, and HB has better ways of bringing their cheap ice in for free anyway. So.
Yeah, so basically for, you know, cost of 2 and possibly, you know, more if you do a precog setup, you could get a piece of ice that's, you know, cost of 6, 7, whatever, into play. So it's good.
As long as you don't reveal a pop-up window.
Well, exactly, and that's why you want a precog first.
Yeah, exactly.
But even still, sometimes a pop-up window can be valuable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
what does a pop-up window do?
It's 0-cost ice that the runner has to pay 1 to get through.
But more importantly, when the runner encounters it, the corp gains 1.
Yeah. So every time you run through it, the corp gets a dollar.
That's kind
of whether or not you jack out, you bypass the ice, or you get stopped there.
Because it's like an ad.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's kind of funny. I like that.
It's very nicely thematic.
Yeah, it's a good card. All right. Anything else on Mutator? I think we're good on that one, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's I want to build a deck that is more around the ice stuff, because there's so many Jinteki things about getting cheap ice. Like, there's that Sysop that lowers the res cost. You have those dedicated servers that you can reoccurring credits to put out ice, and like they have Brain Trust, which you can, if you score with extra account agenda points, can lower the cost of ice. I haven't figured out how to build it yet, but I think that'd be a neat deck.
Yeah. Yeah. It opens up, again, it's, I like it because it opens up a different sort of style of playing then.
Versus snare.
Yeah.
Neuro EPM.
Yeah, Neural EMP.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, thank you, Neural EMP. All right, next one. Oh, sorry, I guess I'm reading. Do you want to read this one? Because it's your faction. Also known as Fox News.
Yeah, so this is there's a new identity for NBN. It's a Near Earth Hub, which is a broadcast center. It's Identity Division. It's standard minimum deck size 45, but it has 17 influence. And the first time you create a server each turn, draw one card. Only the news you need.
This is brutal.
This is very interesting. It's a brutal
identity.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to have to try it. Because
NBN's the fast advance, so this makes them even worse. Because now, not only do they have Jackson Howard to get cards, but every time they build a goddamn server, there's going to be another card in their hand.
And two extra influence is very powerful. That can open up a lot of extra choices for building the deck.
Yeah.
And it's, I like, they've so, got so a couple.
This is the faction is why I never win against Shane.
I like it because it opens up, they've started to try to make the corp go, what they say, wider instead of taller. So instead of going with, you know, just like one remote server that has, you know, four or five pieces of ice, now you're going to have four or five or more remote servers.
I'd argue that Jinteki was already doing that, and you could make the argument that HB kind of does that too, but you're right, like Wayland and NBN.
And NBN are pretty narrow.
They're pretty narrow because they're all about like, okay, we're going to advance. Oh, look, I've won.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So, yeah, no, this is going to be a brutal identity. Oh, you're totally playing this identity. I already... I saw it in the pack. I was like, oh, this is Shane's new thing.
Well, and it matches kind of nicely with the next one, which sort of replaces the original identity.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a primary transmission disc. Two cost, three to trash, asset, beanstalk. Tap for three, use these credits during traces. Works better than a pad hooked up to a tinfoil umbrella and a coffee can. So essentially, you just, whenever you're doing a trace, you can tap this for three credits to put into a trace. So,
No. It's got three recurring credits, which means you can use one at a time, you can use two, or you can use all three at any point that there's a trace, and then they'll refresh at the start of your next turn.
Yeah.
So you don't have to use all three at once. You could just throw one in if you're gonna. It's good for if you're doing lots of different tracing, or if you want one extra powerful trace.
Yeah.
So the original NBN identity had two recurring credits to use during traces. So this is sort of like, let's give the new identity a way to have something that was similar to the original NBN identity, but just in an asset. So again, building a remote server, you'd get to draw cards. So.
Well, at least it can be trashed by Wizard for nothing.
That is true. Yeah, it doesn't have the highest trash cost, but... for a trace-heavy deck, it's good.
Oh yeah, imagine if you had two of them in play, because they're not unique. It's not unique, is it? Oh,
no, it is not unique.
Bleh.
So you could have multiple in play.
Just showing my bias here, Matt. And yes. Boo.
Oh, man, I like these cards.
All right, you can do the next one, Shane.
All right, so the next card we have is Midway Station Grid. It's an upgrade for NBN. Res cost of 4, trash cost of 4. It's a region, so there's only one region per server. And the Midway Station Grid says the runner must pay 1 credit as an additional cost each time he or she uses an icebreaker to break at least one subroutine during a run on this server. So I really like this card.
I make the sound because it's tough for the convention breakers, but I don't use conventional breakers because I'm a Kasai player.
Yeah, but it would still go against Knight.
It would, but it wouldn't, you know, but if I'm doing the Bishop Parasite route, I'd be okay. Until you put a Lotus Field down, then I have to spend the extra dollar to get rid of the to get rid of the subroutine so I could go through. So it would, you know, it would be a mild inconvenience. But yeah, no, this is quite the interesting card. You could build quite the deck around it.
Yeah, so this card goes for a taller server. So this goes against the server that you want to have, you know, 3-4.
No. It goes against
layers of ice deep.
Yeah, or you want just ice like Hive, which has like 5 or 6, like 5 things with 5 like Muckraker. Muckraker, they have to pay. What is Muckraker has 4 subroutines?
No. This is only.
No, it says right on. The runner must pay 1 as an additional cost each time he or she uses an icebreaker to.
Oh right, yes. So yes, okay. So if you have one that breaks 1 subroutine at a time, so you what is it, battering ram? Battering Ram wouldn't be too upset about this.
Or Morningstar.
But Morningstar, yeah.
It changes what you're gonna play, right?
That's true. So yeah, so all of a sudden, what was it, Whale from earlier, where it says you know you can break up to 4 subroutines at a fairly substantial cost, but that would, you know, possibly save you 3 or 4 credits if you're going up against a piece of ice that has, you know, 5 or 6 subroutines.
Yeah, this one's I feel this is like Sand. It's gonna be everywhere.
And trash cost of 4 is pretty nice.
Yeah. Alright. Yeah, no, so those I feel NBN did pretty good out of this pack.
Yes. I'm very excited to build a new deck with some of these cards.
That I can lose even faster. I'm going to figure out Kasai someday, Shane, and then you're going to be in trouble. But enjoy the 2 years that takes me to do. So, all right, so the next card is Root.
The Root.
The Root. It's a Wayland Asset Beanstalk, as in it is the root of the beanstalk. It's 6 to cost to bring in, trash cost of 4. It is unique. 3 reoccurring credits you can use to advance, install, or res cards. They said it couldn't be built, that it was a fantasy, that Jack Whalen was a fool, and that he had bought the fools in Washington too, but year after year, the Bucky Weave grew, and they stopped talking. Dun, dun, dun. So yeah, so it's a 3 influence, but I don't know, like, it's unique, so you only have 1.
You only have 1, but still, I like it.
Yeah, three to do whatever you want. I guess in a fast advance, or you can score out agendas with it too. So it's
you can use it for a lot of different things. Yeah. You know, you have those 3 extra credits that you need when Reyna and her rook come a calling.
That's true.
Right? All of a sudden, that extra cost of res doesn't feel so bad.
Yeah, but Whalen didn't have any problem with rooks before this card.
This is true.
Yeah, Whalen's not a poor corp. But, I see it more.
But you could also use it in combination with cards that, you know, allow you to, Matrix Analyzer, which allows, when the runner hits it, allows you to pay 1 to advance a card that can be advanced.
Oh, yeah.
So you could use the credit off of this to pay for that.
Yeah. It also helps with account siphon. It just sort of takes away the account siphon problem.
Yep.
Account siphon mat is a job where the runner, if he makes a run on HQ and instead of accessing cards, you lose 5
Well, they can steal up to five.
Steal up from to the five, corp. And they get two for every one that the corp loses.
But then they take two tags. But yeah. Most criminals don't care about the tags.
Goddamn criminals! All right.
So yeah, it's I like it. It's just allows for slightly more options, and
this whole pack moves more towards assets, like actually putting out remote servers, which as a runner you kind of prefer.
Yeah,
because it gives you more flexibility. But
okay. Yeah. Then we have a Wayland Ice. It's Taurus. It's a Sentry Tracer. Res cost of 5, strength of 5, 2 influence, and the subroutine trace 2. If successful, trash 1 piece of hardware. However, whether the trace is successful or not, if your trace strength is 5 or greater, trash 1 piece of hardware. Whoa. So
whoa.
You could potentially trash 2 pieces of hardware with this, but even if the runner avoids the trace, if you bump the trace strength up to 5, you get to trash 1 piece of hardware.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start packing disruptors.
Yeah. This is, they said that they're going to start allowing for traces that do something even if they don't succeed. And, this is pretty powerful out of the gate.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, no, it's...
Bye-bye, your Red Queen's deck.
Yeah, console. Deep red, man. Jeez.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He beat me all the time, and he couldn't just say deep red. I agree. It's Shapers would be worried about this card, too. Probably even more so than a Anarch.
Yeah, and it's 2 influence, which isn't too bad, so...
Disruptor's Mad is a card for Anarch where you can trash, and it takes this trace and reduces it to 0. But you usually use it after the person has the corporation has declared how much they've spent, and then you set it to 0, so they've lost all that money, and then the trace reboots starting at 0. So.
And what does that card combat that?
Well, no, it would help against this, right? So it's a trace 2. Shane puts in 3 to make it trace 5, or 6 to make it trace 6, and then I trash Disruptor. It reboots and it goes to 0. So he's out the money. And now it's a trace 0, and I have a better chance of beating it and him not going up to a strength 5. But again, it's Wayland, so as if
they're against Wayland, they might have the money anyways, but...
But Link would be useful in that, too. That's the Shaper route, right? Like, just having more Link. Although, no, Link doesn't matter here.
Link won't matter. Yeah, if the Corp has enough money, one piece of ice is getting... Or one piece of hardware could be trashed.
What's the name of that construct card for the Shapers that...
Sacrificial Heart. Construct.
Sacrificial Construct. They're going to have to pack those, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm more of a runner than a corp guy. I always see sad when these things come out. It's like, it's so hard to win as the runner. Or at least for me. But, again, I play Shane all the time and I lose to him anyway. All right, so next is the neutral, unique... Ice, mythic, called Mother Goddess, 4 to res, 4 strength. Mother Goddess gains the subtype of all other res ice, and the run is its only subroutine. And then there's a very lengthy poem here. On the first day she breathed data into the void, and it hung suspended like jeweled stars. On the second day she spoke order into the data, and it flowed over the rivets into the streams, and from the streams into the mighty rivers. And on the third day she gave independence to the order, and it ebbed and flowed according to its own accord. The Cant of Helios. So this card's neat because if you have nothing else res, you can't break this.
Well, without an AI breaker, yeah.
Without an AI breaker, right?
So your knight doesn't really care.
No, and neither does Darwin and all those guys. But it's kind of neat. Just a good stopper at the beginning. It's not a bad string.
Yep. And 4 for 4 is very cost effective.
Yeah.
It's unique, so you can only have one, but still, it's I like it. It kind of works well with the other mythic ice available. So
you can only have one in play, right?
Right, true, yeah. So. That's what I mean, you can only have one in play at a time, so. Although, can you install more than one and only res?
Correct.
One at a time?
And you can, because I watched a couple tournament games, and the guy had two... how does that work? He didn't res it. Yeah, he had two Jackson Howards out, and he just left one and didn't res it.
Yeah.
He could only have one res, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Next is... Oh, wait, you're next, Shane, sorry.
So we have another neutral Corp Ice, Galahad. It's a Barrier Grail. Res cost of 2, strength
holy,
of 1.
Holy Grail, Matt.
Holy Grail.
I sense a theme here. Because I'm pretty sure I saw one that was called Excalibur, wasn't it?
Yeah, that comes out later.
What?
Yeah. What's interesting is it's another neutral card that has 1 influence. When the runner encounters Galahad, you may reveal up to 2 Grail Ice from HQ. For the remainder of this run, Galahad gains the subroutines of the revealed ice in the order of your choice, and it also has a subroutine and the run.
He who bears the Shield of Honor. Yeah, I think this is too early to decide on this one, because like all I see right now is 1 strength, and it's got... Unless you have 2 Galahads in your hand, I can't see... It's not very strong right now. Like, I think it really needs the other Grail Ice before
I final. Yeah, again, this is a card that, right now, not the greatest, although cheap, easy barrier, and unlike Paperwall, it won't disappear after their first run through it.
And it rewards you for running multiples, because you could reveal 2 Galahads in your hand, and all of a sudden you have 3 and the runs on it, so...
Yeah, if they have an early breaker out. But yeah, it definitely needs more Grail Ice to really kick into high gear, but still, for a nice early ice, it's not bad. Although I think it's more expensive than Ice Wall, right? So.
Yeah, but again, you can boost it, right, from your hand, so...
Yes, but Ice Wall you can advance to make it stronger.
True. It's more reliable.
Yeah. So, but still, yeah, again, future card.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I just had a question about, like, so with these new cards that are coming out, is it pretty much like if you have these new data packs and stuff, you'll pretty much blow away anyone that just has, like, a starter pack?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
No, the way they designed it, the starter pack had, like, I would argue probably a third of the original pack, like the data, like the original starter kit, is still in play. Like there's, when they built it, they put probably some of the most powerful cards are in the starter set. Like for
Envy, oh, yeah.
There's a 2-1 agenda called Astro Script.
3-2.
Which gives you an agenda, it has a token on it, and you can use that to advance an agenda. It's still in play. It's super strong. Data Suckers from the original set, Parasites from the original set, Gordian Aid, Magnus Opus, I think is from the original set.
Yeah, and of course the mainstays, Sure Gamble, and...
Hedge Fund.
Hedge Fund,
lot of cards. They don't account siphons from the original. Like, a lot of really good cards were put in the starter kit, and... It's funny, like, they come up with all this stuff, and then people play with it, and then they slowly gravitate back to a lot of the original cards. Like, in Shaper, everyone still talks about, like, will any Shaper identity dethrone...
Kate.
Kate.
Yeah.
Because no. Kate's so reliable that, you know, everyone's like, the other identities just aren't as good as her. Like, if you play with her all the time, it's just that one saving every time. Criminal actually did have Gabe dethroned by Andromeda because the starting hand was just so handy, helpful.
But a lot of people are going back to Gabe now.
Yeah, a lot of people are going... Well, there's a lot of stuff to get... Yeah, I agree. But I feel with Criminal, like, they haven't... I think that's still in flux. And I know with Anarch that it's... Anarch hasn't found its niche yet because it's one of the harder factions to play because they're completely different than the conventional one, like the more other two. And so they have 3 very... And also with Anarch, there's 3 identities now, and they each have very distinct styles of play. So if you're like, I like viruses, you play noise. If you say, I'm going to do trash or credit denial, you're probably going to do Wizard. And then if you're like, I want to do the Kasai programs or prevent ice from being rezzed, you know, then you play Reyna. So, like, there's three distinct sort of styles of play with them. Whereas with Criminal, I feel like, although with Honor and Profit, it kind of changed a bit. Like, Criminal, like, they all play sort of the same, if that makes any sense. And same thing with the Shapers. Like, with the exception, I guess, of maybe Kit. But that was the one I showed you, Matt, where the first one she runs, it's a code gate. She makes every piece of ice, the first ice she encounters, a code gate.
Oh, so yeah, can... yeah. I like that. It's like it's like a constant, what's that?
Tinker. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an automatic tinker on the very first piece of ice you hit each turn.
Which is
Do you agree with that assessment, Shane? Do you feel that that's...
A little bit, although I would say Professor would play differently, but I still don't know if anyone has found a good way to use the Professor.
Yeah, good. I guess I more meant that if you were, like, trying to... Yeah, I see that's true. The Professor is a bit odd, so...
But anyways, the point is that the core set has some really powerful cards, and you can make really good decks. There are a few cards that, you know, are better than some of the cards in the main deck, but you can still build a really good deck out of just the core set.
It's also there's also about
It's 10 o'clock.
Sorry,
not sorry.
A question of I'm on the clock. Flexibility. Like, when you play out of the core set, say you play if you make decks from the starter kit and you play like 10 games, like 10 Anarch games with Noise, 10 with Gabe, 10 with Kate, and then did 10 games with each of the corps. In the starter set, I would argue there is really only one way to play each faction, be it corporate or runner, and the data packs have given more flexibility and different ways to play. Yeah. And certain corporations that had a sort of an uphill battle in the starter set got really helpful cards in the data packs to make it so that their style of play was easier and they had alternative styles of play.
Oh, okay.
I guess the example to say is that the big box sets and even the data packs don't make the game not power creep, but more makes the game wider. So, like, the fact now that there are, like, how many? There's, like, 5 criminals now? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, there's 5 criminal.
5, games. Yeah.
And they are different. Now with their card sets, like, you can play them differently because there's enough criminal cards that you can play different styles. Shapers now have how many now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 6. And they have all sort of, with more cards, it makes it so you can play differently. Sure. Which I realize contradicts my earlier point, but anyway.
Anyways, let's get back to the cards.
Last card for the corporations. Bad Times. 4 cost, Operations, Grey Ops. Play only if the runner is tagged. The runner's memory limit is reduced by 2 until the end of the turn. Known as Malware 0394415256 to SysOps, runners refer to it as Bad Times.
Ugh. I like that corps get another tool to deal with runners who are tagged.
Yeah.
It's situational in that there, you know, aren't necessarily going to be a lot of times where the runner is that close to their memory limit, but against certain decks, this could be very powerful.
Yeah, I feel Shapers won't care.
Shapers might. As a Shaper, I tend to run a fair number of programs close to my memory limit, but...
I do as well.
But runners have good, or Shapers have good ways of getting cards back, so if they lose a card, it's not always the end of the world.
Yeah, I'm just thinking my Anarch deck, the way I run, I usually have 2 empty data anyway.
Yeah. So. And at 4 cost, it's, you know, you're going to want to make sure you're getting...
Yeah.
That you're going to hurt the runner, so... but, as I said, I may not play it, but it's nice that there's an option to you know, do something to the runner who's tagged.
It is true, because it gives a different variety, because, you know, once, like, you know... Traditionally, it's always like Scourge or maybe closed accounts, but to actually have something different that happens, like, you know, that's, and even with the traces, as much as I complained about that Taurus card, it does provide a different means of hurting the runner. Also, it prevents the nonsense, like people that run just one copies of stuff. You know, like they run one console.
Yeah.
Probably want to have two, or like mine, I run three because I need, for my strategy that doesn't seem to work very well yet, is I need to have that console out very quickly so that I can use its ability. So, but,
wait, also, you can have multiple consoles?
No, you can only have one console out, but in your deck you can put three.
Oh, okay.
So that you could, so that you improve the odds of it being in your opening hand or at least drawn very quickly. So I feel, just to, before we move on to Runner, just looking through this, I feel NBN was the big winner out of this pack.
Yeah, I definitely would have to agree with that assessment.
They got,
although I would say each faction got at least one card that's, you know, that could be immediately usable. But, yeah.
Right, okay, look at here. So if I'm NBN, I've got Lotus Field that I will borrow. I've got my super new identity. I've got a cool asset that lets me get recurring traces. I've got this ridiculous upgrade that makes my server ridiculously expensive to break in. Although I thought now maybe you'll just start doing quest complete to get in there. Quest complete, it's an Anarch card where you run, if you run Archives, R&D and HQ, you can access a card anywhere in the remotes. So just, yes. So you bypass, all the ice.
You put Midway Station Grid on either HQ or R&D, and then it makes it very tough to pull stuff like that off.
Yeah. No, I meant if it was on a remote. If it was on the...
Yeah, yeah, if it's on a remote, then yes. Definitely, quest this, completed this, to...
I feel Singularity is a good one. Good card. But although you still have to get through all the ice to trash it, so... Anyway, yeah, but and then, yeah, and then the Taurus Ice, and then the Bad Times. Yeah, I feel NBN got tons of stuff, which I don't understand, because NBN is such a powerful card, but anyway... But I digress.
How about you do the next two, since they're your cards?
They're my favorite group. All right, so now we're doing the runner side, or as I like to call, the Freedom Fighters against the Evil Fox Network.
is so, every corp you run against the Fox Network?
No. So let's see here. Well,
just NBN, because that's what I tend to play most often.
Yeah, HB is Volkswagen.
Yeah, they're a German AG.
They're German. Yeah, they're German. Well, no, what would be the biggest? Oh, Thiessen, right? Thiessen's a big one there. Thiessen Group.
Yeah.
And then Lotus Field is Japan, so that would be Sony. And
Shinteki.
Yeah, that's Shinteki. And then, although I don't know, they're a medical company. I don't know which, a medical company from Japan. And then Evil Fox News, we've talked about. And
Umbrella.
Then,
Umbrella Corporation.
No, that would be Whalen. Would be the Umbrella Corporation.
Well, isn't it, they're Japanese, so Umbrella, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say Whalen's more like they're like the biggest construction company in the world. So they're like, although aren't they? Are they American, Whalen?
Yeah, American or Whalen. They're actually.
So what, isn't it that what is that construction company? Aecon or not Aecon? EDOS or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Or yeah, Aecon, well, or something. So
Whalen is actually from Aliens too, eh?
Right.
The Evil Corporation and the Aliens movies and the Aliens vs.
Yeah, but they spell it differently. But anyways.
Alright, back to fun stuff.
I digress.
Okay, so first one, Anarch card, Cyber Threat. Cost one, event priority. Play only on your first click. Choose a server. The corporation can res a piece of ice protecting that server. If he or she does not, make a run on that server, during which the corp cannot res ice. Three influence cost. I love this card.
That sounds cool.
It is a very neat card.
I love the card. It's just cool. Because,
yep.
Like, early game, it would just piss off the corp. That's what I'm... Because it's just like, so you get it first turn, you play it, you say, okay, HQ, are you going to res it? And then it's like, no. And then, okay, then I'll run there. But if you do res it, then I'm like, all right, fine, I'll run R&D. Like, it just, because then they won't have the money to res what's in front of R&D, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's just a neat card. And I was thinking about, I heard on another podcast, but someone made a good point that the reason why he likes Anarch is because it's one of the few factions that directly interacts with the corporation versus, like, it actually forces the corporation to interact with them versus, say, you know, Shaper that builds all their stuff and then runs into your servers, or, you know, the criminal that just sort of plays a card, gets through, bypasses everything, steals the stuff, and then comes back out. Whereas this one, like, Anarchs tend to actually make weird, interesting, force interesting decisions on the corp. So,
well, criminals do have forged activation orders, which is a bit of an interaction.
That's true.
And criminals have some of the expose cards, so that's, I guess you could say, interaction. But no, I really like this. This is a really case of flavor matching the actual content of the card, or like what the card does, utility. So yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it's got like all the people wearing red bat packs.
Yes.
Da-da-da. So I feel this is an interesting card. And it's a bit expensive. I don't know if it'll be splashed, but
yeah, no, probably not too much, but no, it's a neat card for Anarchs. I like it.
Yeah, you'll be seeing that, Shane.
Okay, good to know.
That's right, I already knew when I opened this pack, when I flipped through the corp cards, like, I already know what one Shane's going to play against me. next one is a Lamprey. It's a virus. Yay for noise. Cost of 1 MU. Whenever you make a successful run on HQ, the corp loses a dollar. Trash Lamprey if the corp purges virus counters.
I like it.
Yeah.
Any card that can make the corp lose money, it's a good card.
Yeah, because that's the problem with a corp, man. Once they start making money, they're crazy.
Yeah, I feel you need this early game, because by middle game, I feel that you'll spend more money getting into HQ to get corp lose a dollar.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Early game, I feel this is a good card. Unless you're noise, in which case it doesn't matter when you get it. It's handy because it's cheap and you can just filter it
through. Yeah. And I believe if you had three copies, they would stack, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
So if you get three out and you're running HQ, then the corp has to lose three, so.
That's true. They play bad times on you, though. Although it wouldn't be that big a deal to lose those anyway, so.
Yeah, basically, and yeah, if you're forcing the corp to take their turn to purge virus counters, then that is also in your favor, because that means that's three actions that they could spend doing something else.
Oh, yeah. Okay, do you want to do the next one?
Sure. Next one's a criminal card. It is Paper Tripping. It's a event priority, cost of 4, play only as your first click, remove all tags. It's interesting.
Is that getting to Blur as he duplicated the credentials for what seemed to be the 50th time? Perhaps a generic refit would have been easier. On chain. Get into character.
Get into flavor text.
Yeah, so this card, basically you're hacking in to wipe out all traces of what you just did. Changing names in databases. What? That's not me in the motor vehicle registration database. That's Joe. Yeah.
I think I like Lawyer Up more than this one.
Yeah, it's funny that...
Two clicks, get rid of two tags, and draw two cards, I think it is. I think, go ahead, Shane, sorry.
Yeah, it is. I find it funny that it's criminal. It gets a lot of the tag removal and tag avoidance cards, when a lot of times they're the people who care the least about whether they have a tag or not. But
I know, that's like my group. My preferred faction is the faction that's always worried about tags.
Yeah, but...
Because that's because we're setting ourselves on fire as we go into the server to just destroy it, and then it's like, well, you know, we need to last past turn four, or we're, you know.
And it's fairly expensive, so you know you'd want to use this only if you had like more than three tags, because otherwise you would just get rid of them.
I guess
at their regular cost, but.
I guess if you're playing Ian Sterling, the new criminal identity that plays more the slow game, this might be worth it. Because he gets a lot of cash in his...
That's true. Or if, you know, you've siphoned a few times and you're worried that the corp is going to, you know, psychographics you or something. Like, it would be good right after they play mid-season replacements, but generally, right after the corp plays mid-season replacements is when they do something with those tags, but...
Exactly.
So, but, it's not bad, but it's a little expensive, and...
I guess it ends up, if someone keeps playing infographics on it, you put that in your deck.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a meta card.
Exactly. This is an answer card if you're playing someone who loves to get a lot of tags on you and uses them often.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, you have Decoy, or you have Crash Space, or...
Follow Guy.
Follow Guy, or Lawyer Up, as you said, to get rid of some of those cards.
Yeah. Alright, next. Power Tap. Cost 2, resource. Gain 1 whenever a trace is initiated. Public networks. Sorry, public network kiosks, vending machines. There's all sorts of poorly secured power sources in the city. Tap into one of these and you get plenty of juice when you need it. A little advance warning when the power grid starts misbehaving, too. Gabriel Santiago. I like this card.
I like it, too.
It's a drip card. It's a drip
card. Mind and it's only one influence, so it could easily be splashed by anyone. And definitely, if you're playing NBN or Wayland, it's going to most likely pay off.
Yeah. Or as we like to call them, the dumb corporations.
Is that the technical term?
It's a technical term.
Especially against NBN, you get traced. There are a lot of traces that are potentially initiated. So, and even Wayland has a lot. A lot of their ice.
Yeah, there's a couple
performs traces.
HB, there's a couple as well. I'm not sure if it's enough to warrant playing this card against them, but still, it's a drip economy. It's a resource that, you know, if you get tagged, they'll destroy it, and you're like, it's not the end of the world. It protects other things from being destroyed, I guess.
Although, if you have other things, they'll probably go after them, but yeah, it is a potential one that the corp could be worried about. So right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so now we
have... attention, because this is your favorite group.
Yeah.
So, there's a new Shaper identity, Nasir Midan. He's a cyber explorer. He has one link, minimum deck size 45 with 15 influence, standard there. So he's identity cyborg.
There's no ones that are different than that, is there?
Yeah.
There are a few.
Oh,
are
there?
Some that have 10, yes. And there's some that have 17. There's one with 22, isn't there?
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But there are restrictions on that.
Yes, there are on that one.
Yeah, so that was a Wayland, or no, sorry, it was an HB identity, I believe, that had 22, but you're not allowed to have any Jinteki cards.
Oh, okay.
Because in the story, Jinteki and HB are mortal enemies, which is hilarious because their cards have such great synergy.
Yeah.
Because in the game, it's so useful to play Jinteki cards in HB and vice versa, like they're so.
Yeah, and as we just saw, the new MBN identity has 17 influence. So,
yeah.
And there are a couple that have lower influence, and there are a couple that have lower deck sizes. So,
oh, okay.
So 45-15 is the standard, but and most cards fit within that, but there are exceptions. Sorry.
I was just going to say to Matt, like, I think you actually have the kit card Chaos Theory. And Chaos Theory is a Shaper who has, a deck of 40. And is the size of her deck, influence 10, I believe. And that strategy is that you focus exactly on what you want, and you get it very quickly.
Yeah.
so you all of a sudden you're rushing and the person's panicking because usually shapers like getting stuff going and then whereas chaos theory is so fast. So but go ahead, yeah. Shane.
So Nasir's text is, whenever you encounter a piece of ice that was just rezzed, lose all credits in your credit pool, then gain credits equal to the res cost of that ice.
Now, I did some cheating before this opening, and I read up on this guy because I must confess that this confused me a bit. It's crazy. It's so if the corporation decides to res it, there's a gap in the timeline where you can spend your credits before you encounter the ice.
Really? They allow you to do that?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, you encounter the piece of ice, and then you can, corp decides to res it, but no, they wouldn't expose it.
Well, no, right? You go on the timeline. This is what I asked, because I had to read it, because I must admit, this confused me a bit. And there's a whole discussion about this, and apparently the ruling as of right now is that so you go to a piece of ice, and the corporation says yes or no to res. They res it, then the runner encounters it. So there's apparently a time in there where you can spend your credits before you go in to encounter the ice.
Huh.
So it makes him weird, because then all of a sudden it allows you to do personal workshop stuff, it allows you to do self-modifying codes, and like hash abilities just before you go in. I'm like, wow, that's it. I had to read, like, it's a lengthy one, Shane. You should go look at it, because it's just like, wow, that's hardcore.
Yeah, so it makes it very interesting, because, yeah, you could potentially, you know, you could gain a lot of money, or, you know, you could lose money at times, but if you're well prepared and you know what you're going to face.
Yeah. Also, too,
he would be one that may benefit from splashing cyber threat.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But also, but more also too, you're hesitant to res ice now, right? Because you're like, I'm gonna res something that gives him 14 credits or something.
Yeah.
Like, am I giving him the money just to get through it anyway? Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Yeah. Yeah, you really have to figure out the math, whether it's worth it or not. So
shapers and their math.
Interesting. I may have to, I'll have to check that
out. Double check that, Shane, because it's going back and forth. But when I looked at it, like last, that was the ruling. Because if you look at the chart, the way they explain it is if you look at the chart that comes on the back of the main book, it shows each step. And there's a step where the corporation decides to res or not. And once they decide to res, the next step is the runner encounters the ice. Well, you can spend it any time, right?
So
you
can spend that's it true.
Between the res and the
encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So read the next card, Scott, because it actually goes well with Nasir.
All right. Social. Okay, so it's an event priority. Must be played only on your first click. It's called Social Engineering. Choose an unrezzed piece of ice. If the corp rezzes that piece of ice this turn, gain credits equal to its res cost.
Hi.
Hi, everyone say hi, Steph.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, everyone.
There's pieces of rich.
And, so this costs 2. And it's very interesting because this is one of the few operations that this basically sticks around for the entire turn.
Yeah.
Waiting to be sort of triggered or not.
Yeah, I like it too because it also makes you not want to res something. So.
Yeah, exactly. So you can say, pick that piece of ice that's on HQ that I want to access this turn. If you res it, I gain a whole bunch of credits. And then if you don't, then I can just walk through that piece of ice.
Yeah.
Without having to worry.
It wins my bad art award, though. I am not a fan of this picture.
Oh, no? I kind of like it.
I don't know. I'm being picky, probably. But, I like these priority events. They're kind of cool.
Yeah, I like you do something at the start of your turn to set things up. Alright, the next card is Leprechaun. It's a 2-cost, 1MU program. It's a daemon for Shaper with 2 influence. Leprechaun can host up to 2 programs. The memory costs of hosted programs do not count against your memory limit. So this is sort of an answer to Taurus.
And also, just to put it down here, it says, I once saw someone running a 7-tiered nested daemon tree, not for any good reason, just to see if they could do it. Well, of course, the root daemon crashed, and he lost everything. I wonder what he's up to now, Kate. You mean bad times. You didn't mean Taurus.
No, I meant Taurus, because Taurus can trash your hardware. So if you were having all your programs using up by memory cards,
yeah.
Taurus trashes your memory card, or yes, bad times as well. Either one.
Yeah.
So it answers Taurus in that you don't necessarily have to run memory to get your programs, and yes, it goes against bad times because now you can have programs that aren't using up any memory.
Yeah. I find it interesting too because this is the Shaper's Djinn basically. But it's not as it's weird. It's not as quite as powerful as Djinn because it doesn't have the searching, but it's more powerful in the sense you can put anything on it.
That's right, because Djinn can't host icebreakers.
Yeah.
So this is the daemon for icebreakers, and Djinn is the daemon for viruses.
Maybe someday criminals will get a daemon.
Yep. So, yeah, I really like this because, you know, you throw a
Magnus Opus.
Magnum Opus in here. Also, that 2. Or Garrote.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, that 2 memory cost is wiped out.
Yeah,
it's very nice. So yeah, it can host up to 4MU of memory.
You have to protect it, so that's for sure.
Yeah, well that's why now you run Sacrificial Construct.
Yeah, exactly. Does it protect software as well?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It protects a program or an installed piece of hardware.
Yeah, I'm not on Team Green, so I'm not as well versed on the
Yes. So yes, I really like Leprechaun.
I'm sure Matt will too.
Yes. All right, Scott. Last card.
Last card. Eden Shard. It is unique. 7 cost. Resource. Virtual source. Whenever you make a successful run on R&D, instead of accessing cards, you may install Eden Shard from your grip, ignoring all costs. Trash. The corp draws 2 cards. Limit 1 per deck.
This is an interesting card, but I feel that the it should be more than 2 cards that it forces the corp to draw.
Well, it helps with dive if you're an R&D diver, right? Like you're going into R&D and you dive down like 3 cards and you find nothing, right? You can force the corp to draw the 2 cards and then go diving again.
True, but then you're spending 3.
Yeah.
I would rather use Demolition Run than Eden Shard in that case, though.
That's true.
Because really, you'd have to do 3 runs. You do the first run to see the cards. You do the Eden Shard run to install Eden Shard, force the corp to draw 2 cards, and then you go in. Whereas with Demolition Run, you can run in, and then no matter what you see, if it's something that you don't like, you can trash it.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah.
However, there's 1 influence cost for this, and I'm not sure if Demolition Run is 2 or 3, but still. This one's still costing you an influence, and you can only have 1 of it.
Yeah, I feel this is a future card. Like, I feel it's going to be...
Yeah. Although, the one thing I read was this card is... the counter against the Wayland deck that does the emergency power shutdown.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They take their deck down to just the 2 cards they need to draw to, tag you and scorch you.
Yeah.
So if you had Eden Shard at that point, you could trash it, before they get a chance to combo you off, and then they would lose the game because the corp loses if they need to draw a card from R&D and they cannot.
That's true. All right. Well.
So it's a silver bullet to them, but other than that,
I think it's got future potential.
It has future potential, but yeah, I'm not really a big fan of cards that are possibly beneficial to your opponent.
Yeah, true. All right.
As I said, I would rather trash those than have the corp draw them, but yeah. in the right situation, it could win you the game.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the end of this not-so-mini-mini episode.
I was going to make a joke about that. I was like, it's like, if this is our mini episodes, I'll hate to see what our regular episodes are going to be.
Yeah, it's mini in content. It's just focused on one thing. So.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to losing in new, interesting ways to you, Shane.
Well, we'll have to build our decks and see.
Yeah. All right, on that happy note.
All right, thanks. This was fun.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, all right, I'll see you on the weekend, Matt, and I'll see you whenever, Shane.
Oh, wait. Before we stop, Scott, one last thing. So which runner faction do you think benefited most from Upstock?
So far, I would argue, without playing, I feel that Anarch came out a little bit ahead of those specific cards.
Yeah, Anarch got two really good, immediately useful cards.
Yeah. I feel that Shaper, that identity, depending on how that plays out, could probably be the winner of the pack. I feel Shaper, if that identity works the way they're currently saying it's going to work, I would definitely say they were their winners, because it is a weird, interesting way to play. So
Yeah, it sounds interesting. And I really like Leprechaun.
Yeah.
What would you say, after your initial glance, is your favorite card overall in the pack?
Cyber Threat. Gotta stay loyal, man. Gotta stay loyal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I think it's the most. I like it. I like cards that make interesting decisions. Like I like Lady in the Red Dress. I like this one of Cyber Threat. Yeah. I like Queen's Gambit. I like cards that surprise or change the game. A mass install. I like anything that kind of changes the tempo. Like all of a sudden, oh wait, everything's different. See, yeah. As much as I complain about that region that makes everything more expensive, like that's a game changer. Like it all of a sudden changes the dynamic of the table, and all of a sudden you have to rethink everything, and you have to improvise. And I kind of like those cards.
So. And APD Contracts.
Yes, I like that card.
I know. That's what I said. It's really good. Changes things.
If I had gotten in that one, that was the closest every guy came to beating you. If I had just got one more agenda out of your hand, I would have saved up and I would have ran into archive and I would have got that last one. But was it meant to be? That's all right. I can beat Matt. That'll make myself feel better. Although he doesn't know what's going on, so it doesn't really feel the same. All right, guys. I got to go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys later.